السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks only due to Allah Ta'ala that He has allowed us to sit a little while and discuss a very important aspect of our deen. Normally this aspect of estate planning, deceased estate planning, is done from one angle, is done from the angle of tax planning. Many people are comfortable to discuss this topic because they understand how much taxes can be saved. But very seldom do we discuss this topic of deceased estate planning from an Islamic perspective. I'll give you a simple example. Many of us, when we are going for Hajj, when we are going for Umrah, person is undertaking a journey, there's some planning that is taking place on a micro level, on a small level. Person will tell his son, for example, in the business, that these are the creditors that need to be paid. Ensure that when I'm gone for Hajj, these creditors must be paid. There's a light account, there's a water account. Manage these things. These are the suppliers, these are the customers that we need to take care. So there's some planning that is taking place for a journey that a person is undertaking, the journey of Hajj. So when this planning takes place, it is on a very small level. And like that, a person may undertake another journey, he may be going somewhere else, but there's some planning that takes place. He contacts his agent to book the tickets, he sees the time of the flights, he arranges transport to go to the airport, he ensures that his passport is in order, he ensures that his visa is in order. So there's some planning that is taking place. But there's one journey that we all have to take and undertake, and that is the biggest journey that we'll ever take. And that is the journey from dunya to akhirat. How much of time have we taken to ensure that our affairs are in order to undertake this journey from dunya and akhirat? It's not a journey like how a person is going for Hajj. His son can still contact him, find out that there are certain issues I've got. How do I tend to these issues? I can't find these documents of yours. Where do I find it? There's a person that is querying about something. What is the answer to this query? Once this journey is taken from the dunya to akhirat, then that contact is also lost with the person that is gone. So this is a massive journey that is undertaken. So how often do we sit and we consider that what preparation have I made for that journey? The issue is, and what comes to most of us, is that we think that this journey is very far. Allah Ta'ala mentions one ayat of the Quran, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. As far as Qiyamah is concerned, Allah Ta'ala is saying that they think it to be very far. You think it that it's far, but we see it something very close. Now imagine maut, how much closer maut is to us. But do we see it as something close? Therefore, in few ayats of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala describes the scene that takes place at the time of death. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتَ كَلَّا. That at the time of death, when maut comes and it stares a person in his face, what this person says, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ وَاللَّهُ, let me go back. Let me go back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. I'll do good deeds, wallah. Those things that I forgot to do, I just didn't get a chance. I was going to do it. I meant to do it. I didn't do it. Give me that chance. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This will never ever happen. This is just something a man is speaking and he's wishing and he's desiring. Maut has come. He's wishing that I did this. Deceased estate planning. I wish I got my salat in order. I wish I got my qazas in order. I wish my zakat was in order. I wish that I gave that extra charity. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is saying, spend when you spend now. Now is the chance you spend. Spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. from what Allah Ta'ala has given you. Because when maut comes, what a person will tell? Lawla akhartani ila ajalin qareeb. Just give me a little bit more time. You know, that one transfer, I was going to do it to the poor people. I had it there in my bank account, but I thought maut is still going to come. So I said, later on in life, I will give the poor, I will spend. Ajalin qareeb, just little bit time. Fa asaddaqa, if I get the time, what will I do? Now I will spend. Wa akum min as-salihin. Now I'll become a good person. Please, I wish I had that chance. So Allah Ta'ala is warning us beforehand that that moment is going to come when you're going to be saying these things. Rather have your affairs in order now, so you don't need to say those things at the time of death. So this is what this estate planning, this deceased estate planning is all about, is how we plan ourselves to undertake the journey from dunya to akhirat in the most comfortable, in the most pleasant manner. There was one musalli of ours that passed away recently. You may have heard the incident. I'm just repeating it for our benefit, that about an hour or so before he passed away, he phoned his family and he said, now come and visit me. Now come and see me, I'm in Sakarat. He met everyone, as though a person is meeting, he's going on a journey. I'm going far away, I meet you, I ask you for maaf. He reads the kalima, he turns to the right hand side and he passes away. Now how many of us have got this opportunity? One thing that he mentioned, I'll share with you. He says, I asked him that how, some time back I asked him, that how do you manage to follow such a strict diet? He was very, very meticulous about the diet that he had. He was following a very strict diet. So his answer to me was that when you are staring death in the face, then you'll do anything. You'll do anything if you're staring death in the face. So fortunate are those that can actually stare death, so to speak, inverted commas, whilst they are alive. They'll be prepared to do anything to get their affairs in order, to the extent that we got maut in front of us, death in front of us. To that extent, a person will be ready now that I am prepared to go, I'm happy, I'm ready to go. But to that extent that we see maut as something very distant, to that extent we will be scared and we will be frightened for maut. We'll think that maut is very far. Let us not even talk about it. This is not something we need to discuss with our family. This is something that, you know, will spoil the atmosphere. It will spoil the discussion that we normally have. So leave this discussion for some other time. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, very beautifully he mentions this, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullah Ali also quotes him, that he said, إِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرَةً وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةً. That this dunya is on its way out. This dunya is on its way out. We are leaving it and we are going, we are moving away from this dunya. He says, and the akhirat is on its way in. We are moving towards the akhirat. Akhirat is moving towards us. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. And you'll always get two groups. One group of people that their focus is on the akhirat. That everything they're doing is doing, keeping akhirat in mind. And there'll be one group of people that always, everything is for this dunya. That how I can expand, how I can increase, how I can do this. But the mind, the focus is only dunya, nothing about akhirat. So he explains, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَبْنَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. That become from the people of akhirat. Be of that group whose mind, whose focus, whose attention is on akhirat. Don't be from that group whose only attention is this world, how I can grow and increase, and I'm not concerned about what is happening. He says, don't be from that group. And then he explains why. He says, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. That today is a chance where you can do something. There's no hisab kitab today. Today you can do something. There's no hisab kitab being taken here in this dunya. وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. But tomorrow there will be hisab kitab and there'll be no amal. There'll be no chance. You'll be wishing that two rakats extra namaz I could have read. That ishraq time I was awake but I was lazy to read that ishraq namaz. How I wish I could have done it. There'll only be hisab. How I wish I paid that person. I had the money. I was owing him the money. How I wish I paid. So on that day there'll be hisab. And there'll be no chance to do amal. So therefore we have to be careful that Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity to get our affairs in order. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. That increase the remembrance of that thing that will crush, that will destroy all pleasures, and that is maut. So in other words, all this unlawful haram pleasures, what is the thing that will destroy it? In fact, it will destroy all pleasures, but more we're speaking about the haram pleasures is maut. So when you discuss about it, then automatically the nafs, the desire towards haram is also gone from there. Another thing that we should keep in mind is that when it comes to our assets, when it comes to things that we own, a very big mistake, now we'll start going into more direct things that are more relevant as far as estate planning is concerned. A starting point, very important point as far as our deceased estates are concerned, or the estates that our assets that we own, is we should have a list of assets. Everyone, don't think that this list of assets is for some rich person, some wealthy person. There was one person that came recently and he said, well, I don't need to do much estate planning. All my assets are in a trust and my business is in a company. So I'm sorted, I'm taken care of. There's nothing really I have to worry about. So I asked him a simple question. I said, those assets in the trust, who does it belong to? So immediately he got stuck for a while. He said, you know, I didn't give it a thought. I got beneficiaries in the trust, but I never give it a thought who it belongs to. This is something that is very important. It's a starting point as far as all estate planning is concerned. Here we are speaking about not legal ownership, we are speaking about real ownership. There's a difference between legal ownership and real ownership. I can be owning something, but I can put it in your name for tax purposes. I can put it in a beneficiary's name for tax purposes. I can put it in a trust, I can put it in a company. But I only did this for tax purposes. In my mind, in the beneficiary's mind, or the shareholder's mind, whoever's mind it may be, he knows that it's not mine, it's just done for tax purposes. And sometimes this tax purposes things can backfire. Therefore, you'll notice as I'm speaking, we should try and keep real ownership as close, or legal ownership as close as possible to real ownership. Because when a person passes away, then there's no complications. Already legal ownership and real ownership is one. It was one friend of ours. What he had done was it was him and his wife as shareholders of the company. They put their son and daughter as the shareholders as part of a bigger tax planning scheme to create for a small business corporation. We know that you can't be owning shares in two companies simultaneously. So what he did was, him and his wife, he put in one company that had some properties, and his son and daughter, he put them in the trading company. So this is what he did in his thinking as far as tax planning is concerned. Not long after that, the son and daughter literally kicked the mother and father out of the business. You all are too old. You all don't know how to run a business. This business now belongs to us. We are the shareholders. So this person now comes concerned. What do I do? Now a whole process of arbitration, Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us, arbitration between parents and children. Imagine for what? For dunya. So therefore, sometimes we think we are doing something for tax purposes, but we ignore the risks that are there from a realistic point of view. So therefore, when a person is doing his estate planning, very important is consider the risks, all risks. Don't only consider the tax amount or tax saving. Sometimes it's better, I say it's better you pay the tax, but have less risks as far as these issues, as far as legal issues are concerned, than trying to save tax and faced with many, many legal issues. There was one person that came recently. So he came and he's telling me, you know what, I can't sleep. So I know this person, I knew him, he passed away. Now Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. Allah Ta'ala give him the highest stages in Jannah. So when he came, he says that, you know what, I'm worried about something, I can't sleep. I said, Haji Sahab, you have built up a whole empire for yourself. You are, so to speak, now in your twilight years. What is it that is worrying you? Normally people at this age now, they only worry, they focus about akhirat. They got no need, there's no worry about this dunya, so to speak. He says, the thing that is not allowing me to sleep is I'm afraid that my children are going to fight after I pass away. And this is a real concern that many parents have, that my children will fight after I pass away. There'll be disputes. And it happens, and it's something that's very realistic. When the parent is alive, for example, when the father is alive, let us just take an example, and there's some type of disharmony, there's some type of problem, there's some type of enmity between the siblings, the children, there's some type of enmity, let us quantify it, let's say it's X. What happens is when that old person passes away, when that fatherly figure passes away, that X now becomes X cubed. That enmity, that discord now suddenly grows. And when there's money involved, we know the thing just goes out of control. So therefore, it is very important for us to have our issues in order. And one way to have issues in order, as I said, we start off by listing all our assets. List our liabilities. Call the children, call the family, call those people that are involved, that are heirs to this estate. And let them know that this is exactly what my position is. This is the starting point. The next thing that we need to do is we need to ensure that when we are distributing, and remember something, people are very reluctant to relinquish assets in their lifetime. This is a good policy, that the less, remember, less is more. The less we have on our name, the more we actually have, the more peace of mind we have. In fact, the pious of the past were so careful of ownership. You know, I was explaining to you about that brother who said, I got my properties in a trust, I got the business in a company. I asked him one other question. I said, tell me that dining room table of yours, who does it belong to? So now he starts thinking, and I think most of us, if we ask ourselves, who does that lounge suite belong to? That plates that are there, the glasses that are there in the kitchen, the kitchenware, who does it belong to? Does it belong to the wife or does it belong to the husband? Man hasn't even given that a thought. And remember, in our life, if we're not sure who it belongs to, how do we expect our executives to know who it belongs to? We never knew, we never gave it a thought. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was so careful about this, that towards the ending of his life, food would be brought to his room, and he would eat his food in the room. So on one occasion, that food was brought, that plate, perhaps on a tray, the plate, the glass. So after eating, he told somebody, he said, please, take this away immediately to the kitchen. Don't leave it here in my room. So they were surprised that, Hazrat, what is the rush to take away the plate and the glass after you ate? So he said, you see, I've got an agreement with the family that whatever is in the room belongs to me. Everything else in the house belongs to the wife. So I don't want by mistake that the item of the wife now be considered as my item. Even the plate and the glass they were so careful of. So when a man has got akhirat in front of him, he'll be careful of every asset. There was an alim that passed away recently. Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr. Young man, but dynamic. Very enthusiastic, very dynamic. So when his father had passed away, he had come to me to ask one question. And I found it a very strange question, but it was an eye-opener. He said, how do you value attar bottles and how do you value used kurtas? So I looked at him and I was surprised that people normally ask us, how do you value companies? How do you value estates? How do you value shares? How do you value, you know, multinationals? We don't get a question where, how do you value attar bottles and used kurtas? So I asked him that why, and these attar bottles, some had a little bit attar and some had no attar in it also, but he wanted a value. He said, you see, my father has passed away, and in this estate, they are minors. When they are minors, you have to be 100% careful as far as values that are concerned. When they are all people or that are bali, all adults, you can come to some consensus. But when there's minors, you can't come to consensus with a minor. You have to get a proper valuation done. So that shows when a person has got akhirat in front of him, there's no question about fighting and I must take more. This is not the spirit of a Muslim. The spirit of the Muslim is to give more. So anyway, this was just some incident I mentioned for our understanding. This is the level that we should try and get, that we are careful of every item. So one is we list all the assets. And we also simultaneously list liabilities and date it as at this date. Now we can keep updating that, there's no problem. This assets and liabilities don't form part of the mul. It can be an addendum to the will, but it's not part of the will. All the will is saying, we are speaking about Islamic will here, all the will is saying is giving an instruction that after my death, this is how I want my estate to be distributed. It must be distributed according to Islamic rights. This is an instruction given by a person before he passes away. And the failure of having the will is something that is, the consequences are very, very detrimental. If a person doesn't have a will, I'll give you one example. If a person doesn't have a will, there's no will there in his estate. Now, according to South African law, his estate will get distributed interstate. And when it gets distributed interstate, then the laws and the rules of Shariat are completely ignored. One simple example I'll give you. A person has left behind an estate of 2 million. He has left behind an estate of 2 million. He's got 3 children and he's got a spouse, one wife. So how many? According to interstate, what you do is you take 3 plus 1 being the spouse is 4. Take that 2 million and you divide it by 4. What do you come with? You come to 500,000. So now in interstate, what you do is you say that the wife's share is the greater of 250,000 or a child's share. In this example, it's 500,000. It's automatically more than 250,000. Each one, the wife and the children, will get now here 500,000. But let's assume that estate was 400,000. The estate was 400,000. You divide it by 4, what do you get? 100,000. The wife will first get 250,000. That balance now, 150, gets shared amongst the children. This is completely, almost say, completely opposite to what Shariat has. Shariat has it that wife will get 12.5%. The balance of the estate, 2:1, boys is to girls. That's how it will be distributed. But here we see what happens is the wife is getting the bulk of the share, and the children are left with a small portion. Now, because we haven't left a simple Islamic will that estate of ours also gets distributed un-Islamically. And tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we have to answer for what we have done. That's why we're saying that ghadan hisabun wala amal. There'll be hisab kitab and there'll be no amal. Because of carelessness, we never leave a simple thing as an Islamic will. So this is not something that is difficult. When it comes to these documents also, a point to remember, he said, leave it. We got that Islamic will, leave it in a place where it's easily accessible. Leave it, the idea of ours in a place that is easily accessible. Leave things like our electricity. If a person got prepaid electricity numbers somewhere that is accessible. There was not too long ago one case where the husband had passed away. Maybe a day or two had run past and there was no lights in that home. The wife didn't know the even electricity number. She didn't know that. So sometimes we may have passwords, we may have banking details, we may have accounts that we are attending to. If Maud suddenly comes, then who's going to attend to those things? We can make it very easy for those people that will now attend to it. Leave it in a place where they know where it is. They know exactly it is signed, it's sealed, the instructions are there. How easy will make it for those people? As it is, they are struck by grief. And now to make the grief even worse is they can't find documents. We don't know where the ID is. Recently one organization, Islamic organization, that they couldn't find the death certificate of one of the trustees. So now they couldn't find the death certificate of the trustees. They're having such a hard time now to remove the trustee and put a new trustee. Simple thing like keeping the death certificate safe, keeping these documents safe. Sometimes what might take us 10 minutes in our lifetime to put it right may take the executives 2 years to rectify because we haven't kept our documents right. So this is something that is also very, very important. The next thing that we should keep in mind as far as our estates is concerned is that I mentioned liabilities, but let that liabilities be known. It is becoming more and more common where there is estates and there are false claims coming against the estate. Nobody knows. Let us put a claim in. This person we were dealing with, let's take a chance. Let's send a statement. The family are so struck with grief. They only want to make it easy for the deceased. So every claim that is coming, they are paying out. They are paying out. So if we got our liabilities also in order, it will make it much more easier. That any claim that now comes, we'll ask the person to furnish proof. Because we're not seeing that claim as in our list of liabilities. Another thing that we should keep, as I mentioned with our documents, is important documents like title deeds, log books. For the transfer now to the heirs, it becomes very easy for the person that is attending to it. If it's not there, it delays the process much, much more longer. Another thing that we should keep in mind is that if we are relinquishing assets in our lifetime, if we are giving it to the children, we should give it in equal proportions. Because when we're giving it in our lifetime, it's done as a gift. Yes, there are certain considerations that will take place, and there are certain considerations that should take place. For example, if there's one son that is the elder son, for example, and is working the longest in the business, now we want to give the shares of the business to the other children and that one son, we give that son an extra percentage because of the amount of effort he put in. There's no harm in that. There's some consideration. Yeah, I'm talking about pure gifting of assets. We should keep and do it equally in our lifetime. Many people make the mistake that I'm giving in my lifetime, but I'll give it in the proportion that it would happen at the time of death. And another common mistake that takes place is a person says, I'm distributing my estate now. So what I'm doing is, one heir, I'm giving him his share now, for example, and the other heirs will take my assets at the time of death. It doesn't work like that. At the time of death, no one has control. The control is solely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this man has died. These are how his shares are going to be. These are how his estate is going to be distributed. He can't say, because I gave one person in his lifetime, he gets excluded at the time of death. That person will also be included at the time of death. There's no such thing as excluding anybody. So therefore, be very careful. These are common mistakes that are made. A person said, I already gave this heir. Now the other heirs will take. It doesn't happen like that. So we're coming back to the point about relinquishing, trying and make it easy for us. The less we have on our name, the better it is. And why not? Let the heir start enjoying the assets from now. Why do we need to hold back in our name everything? One other complication it creates is estate duty. And we know how high estate duty is in South Africa. So the less assets we have in our name, the more saving of taxes also that take place. Anyway, when we're doing this relinquishing of assets, the first point I mentioned is being fair. There was a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Nu'man bin Bashir, radiyallahu anhuma. He was a Sahabi, his father was a Sahabi. His father was Bashir, radiyallahu anhu. So anyway, Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu had taken his son Nu'man to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to witness a gift that was given to the son. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard this, the first question he asked Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu, he says, do you have other children? So he said, yes. He said, did you give the other children the same like how you're giving Nu'man? So he replied, no. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got upset. He says, do not make me a witness upon oppression. I don't want to be a witness upon oppression. And we also come to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked that, would you like all your children to love you equally? So answer was yes. He says, then you must gift equally. Because when a person gives unequally, he doesn't realize that there's some type of sentiment, evil, ill sentiment that is created in the heart, that my father has given one person more than he has given me. So this is as far as gifting and relinquishing is concerned. So the first thing I mentioned is what we need to do is look to see our assets, how they are legally. In terms of legality, who is the owner of this? So we list it on a Excel schedule, or on a list, simple list that we make. Who is the real owner, legal owner? Second column we put is, we want real ownership. Real ownership is how we want these assets to be transferred. Who must be the real owners? The third column we put is what adjustments we need to do, notes that we need to do, things that we need to do, people that we need to employ to ensure that the real situation now matches the legal situation. So tomorrow there is no problem. And this is, as I mentioned, is becoming a bigger problem. There was one case recently where a daughter was taking the father to court. Why? Because the father had transferred also the shares onto the daughter's name. And the year the daughter, it was a massive property company. Yeah, the daughter didn't want to have anything to do with the father. This whole business is mine. The father felt, you know what, I only did this for tax purposes, structuring purposes, nothing else. And now this matter is going to court. So now the whole community is trying to get involved. Ulama are being phoned. That please assist. What can we do? It's going to be so embarrassing if this daughter is taking the old father to court. So these things are happening. These are realities. We mustn't think that it won't happen to us. We must be very careful. So what adjustments? If it needs to be transferred out, we use conveyances. It will cost us money to transfer those properties, to transfer. Rather, we pay it now. We have that peace of mind. There was one person who we assisted as far as getting his planning, deceased estate planning. And I still remember his words. After everything was planned, the heirs were called in, so to speak, heirs. There's no heirs at the time when a person is alive, but so to speak, heirs were called in, and this is how he now distributed. Everything was done. It was done understanding. It was signed. It was sealed. Everyone came to some common understanding. The words that came out of this man, he was a pious man, the words that came out of his mouth, he says, now I'm ready to die. Now I'm ready to die, because I can see now, inshallah, there'll be no problems. Everything is sorted out. We want to make our life less stressful. Ulama say that pet or peet ko halka kar do. That make your stomach light, make your back light, then you'll be a healthy person. What do you mean by stomach light? Don't overeat. And keep your back light, don't take on unnecessary stress. We don't need unnecessary stress. Let us sort our financial affairs and get it in order. So this I mentioned in a very simple, obviously we can't go into detail, that every person's estate will be different, but this is just some ideas that we can share, is that try and get what we would like it to be at the end, try to match it legally. So there's no issues, it's already in a person's name, it's already in their child's name. Then a person's assets also are less, he'll end up paying less estate duty, and there'll be less things for people to dispute and to fight about. One other thing that we've got to keep in mind as far as our assets are concerned, as far as our accounts are concerned, as far as our businesses are concerned, is very often the wife gets left out. Person is doing it, he thinks about the children, he thinks automatically the children are going to take care of the wife. This is not something we must automatically assume. How many women, old women, widows, etc. are complaining that they are living off suitcases? Why? Because now the children, no one wants to take their mother. Nobody looks at it as an honor to look after my mother. This is the woman that had given birth to me. Jannat is under the feet of my mother. Nobody looks at it like that. Now it becomes a burden. Who is going to look after her? She has to live off a suitcase, one child to the next child, the next child. She doesn't even feel secure. Why? Because we just left her out of that planning. So something to secure the wife also is important. One other thing that's important when we're gifting, it must be real gifting. This is another common mistake. A person say, I've given it to the child, but he's got full control of it, he's got full ownership in Shariat. That gift is not recognized. It must be given to the person to such an extent, if that person that has now the doni, the person that has received that donation or that gift, must be free to sell it, must be free to dispose of it. There must be no questions asked to that doni, the person that has received the gift, as to why you're doing this, why you're doing that. It was given in their lifetime. Whatever they do, alhamdulillah, we are happy for them. So this is something that is very important. Another thing that we should keep in mind is that don't delay with this. This is not something you delay. I learned this lesson. One person had come to me. He was not well. So he said, I'm not well. I need to get my will sorted out. Assist me. So I assisted him in getting his will, etc. So before he could leave, he said, you know what? Let me just take one for my wife. Let me just take one will also for my wife. You know, I'll get her to fill it in. So I told him, okay, what you do is there's a blank wall, generic. What you do, fill this in, and then last, you do the signatures. When you got everything in order, you show about who you're putting as your executors, you show about all the details, last you get her to sign it. So this person told me, he says, no, he says, these things you don't delay. These things you don't delay. And not even a week had passed, Allah Ta'ala made it such that his wife had passed away. But he had got her to sign it. And then I realized that if only he delayed in getting the signatures, if only he delayed in putting all the details, what would have happened? She would have passed away without a will. So therefore, don't delay. Start immediately. Get one will signed and kept away immediately. Immediately after this program, we keep this thing. Yes, we can keep updating it. Once we update it, then the previous one becomes null and void. But if we happen to drop, what will happen is already our instruction is that our estate must be given in terms of Shariat. Another new common error or problem that is coming in is people are taking out insurance, and this is actually life insurance to cover expenses of the estate. Remember, this is our last instruction to the dunya before we are leaving the dunya. Let us leave out all those doubtful things. Doesn't matter if we have to pay extra taxes. And I say that before you pay 1 cent of estate duty, you need to have an estate, net estate, that is more than 3.5 million. So automatically the heirs are already getting quite a bit of money. To say that they are now in need, so therefore we have to take out insurance, life insurance to cover them, that is something we are deceiving and duping ourselves. Leave out that life insurance. We don't need life insurance. Doesn't matter what Islamic name it takes. That is not important. What is important is our instruction to the dunya is clean, that we don't want to get involved in anything doubtful. Recently there was one person that we assisted with. His estate duty came to about 15 to 20 million. But when that estate was submitted, then it was submitted in such an easy manner, such an easy fashion, that hardly any taxes were needed to be paid. So it was very surprising. So one person, one chartered accountant, he was over 30 years specializing in estates. He mentions, I never ever seen a situation like this. There must be something special about this man. So I told him, you see, I'll tell you what was special about this man. His whole estate went so quickly, so clean. There was no queries, there was no question from SARS at all as far as this person's estate is concerned. So I said, I'll tell you what was special about this man. He was careful that every cent of his income was halal. He was careful that every cent of his income must be spent properly. He was very generous in his ways, very kind, very, very generous, very good. But he was also careful about halal and haram. If we're careful about halal and haram in our lifetime, the money that we're taking, we don't invest in banks, whether they call themselves Islamic or not. He's careful that I mustn't take 1 cent of interest. You'll see the barakat flowing in the generations to come. That money will last. Otherwise, we can leave a whole empire. One generation, not even one generation, all that money is busted. And you'll see those people, the family that are after that are broke. What happened? There was no barakat in that money. So if we want barakat, brothers, we have to be careful. Cut out anything that is doubtful. I want clean investments. I don't want to invest in those avenues or those industries or those companies that are doubtful. I want to be very, very clean. I rather earn less, but I rather earn halal. This will ensure that there will be barakat. This will ensure that there will be longevity as far as our wealth is concerned. And this, after all, this is what we want. This is what we're working for. So that this barakah, the family can benefit, people can benefit. There was one Pakistani brother that had come to see me. So he said, assist me with my will. So I took out a generic will. I said, yeah, you just fill this in, put in who the executors, put in your name, put your ID number, or you got passport number, put it in. So he looked at me and he said, help me fill this in. So I asked him, what do you mean, help me fool the sin? He says, look, I don't know how to read and I don't know how to write. I don't know how to read, I don't know how to write. This person's net asset value, not net asset value, his turnover is over 100 million. Pakistani. So I said, how come you don't know how to read, you don't know how to write? He said, you see, I come from a village in India. I come from a village in Pakistan. He says, but my father told me one thing. He soon told me that every time you open your shop, tell the shop, you don't provide, Allah is the provider. He says, that's what I did. Every time I opened my shop, I said, shop, you don't provide, Allah is the provider. He says, from a small 2x2 spaza shop, Allah Ta'ala grew it. He says, now I've got a wholesale, I've got two wholesales. As I'm explaining to you, Allah has blessed him with so much. But that money is pure. The yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. Very careful, I don't want to go into anything wrong. Then you'll see the barakat, you'll see the happiness. A man that doesn't know how to read or write. That other person I told you about, whose estate duty alone came to 15 to 20 million. This person didn't even know how to sign. Didn't know how to drive a car. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with so much. So therefore it shows that blessings is there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be careful about what we do. So anyway, this in a nutshell is what I wanted to speak about, is getting our financial affairs in order. Try and get it as close as possible. Try and engage the family and discuss it. It's nothing to feel shy about. There was one man that passed away recently. He also left behind a massive empire when he passed away. But he was advised that this is what you do. So he was such a simple man. I'm explaining to you, it has got nothing to do how clever you are, how intelligent you are, what schemes you put in place. It's got nothing to do. Rozi is something that is given from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when his family was called, now he was told that, you know what, you tell your family. Remember, you can get some financial advisor to tell your family this is how it must be distributed. The best is for the person himself to tell his family, because when the instruction comes from him, it is accepted directly by the heirs. They don't feel that there's any outside interference. So he was told, now you explain to your family that this is what you want to do. This is how you're going to distribute it. This uncle was such a simple, he started giving the 6 points. He didn't know how to speak anything else. He started giving the 6 points of Jamaat, Tabligh. He started speaking about these things. He said, I don't know how to speak anything else. But yet when he passed away, everything was distributed so nicely, so peacefully, so happily. And that money of his is still being given. That money of his is still coming into effect. In what way? His children have taken it upon themselves that one masjid a month we build for our father. One masjid in Africa, a month we're building for our father. Who does this? For the parents that have passed away. Therefore in one hadith it comes that the most unfortunate person is that person who hoarded his money. He didn't spend his money. He didn't give the zakat on his money. And he passes away. And the person that inherits his money now takes that money and he spends it and he spends on it. So that person that inherited it gets his jannat. This person lost his jannat by hoarding. And he same money, somebody else took it and spent it. And he got jannat. This is the most unfortunate person. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Before we finish, is there any questions? We'll take inshallah quickly some questions and we'll terminate. So the question is, if you create a family trust and the children become equal beneficiaries. So there's no harm for creating a family trust and bringing the children as beneficiaries. But what's very important is a person needs to clarify in his lifetime that are they the owners of the assets of the trust? Or are they just there for convenience, for tax planning purposes? That is very important. Because the difference it will make is if he passes away, from a Shari'i perspective, the assets in the trust need to be part of his estate still to be distributed to the children, irrespective of what legal position or what legal status they hold. So therefore it needs to be clarified. As I mentioned, the better thing to do is to make them the owners in your lifetime. So when you pass away, there's no need now for that process to take place wherein the distribution to the children still need to take place. And it will create, if that is the case, for example, the father is still the owner, and he got his children as the beneficiaries, but you got males and females. From a Shari'i perspective, you got them there in the trust as equal beneficiaries. But if the father is still the owner, now the proportion has to change. And to get the children to change it after your death is very hard. They'll say, no, we have always been equal shareholders. They don't want now to bring. So whose fault it was? It was the person who created the trust, not clarifying exactly what the position of the trust is.
Inshallah, we'll terminate, inshallah. Anybody else got any questions? After the program, inshallah. I just one announcement is Anwar, Haji AK Varyawa is telling me that he's got Islamic worlds. Alhamdulillah, he's got those worlds. They're very nicely done. They've been compiled by a whole host of advocates, ulama, and accountants. So he's got those worlds. If anybody wants to purchase it, purchase it. It's a cheap bargain. Buy the thing, fill it in. Ensure that when we're filling in our worlds, we fill it in with black pens. Very, very important, fill it in with black pens. If you make a mistake, there's a way of correcting it, signing it, etc. But if you make big mistakes, it'll cost us a little bit more. Buy another one. It's cheap. Doesn't cost much. 20 or 25 rand, I think it cost a will, somewhere around that region. Buy another one and have a will kept, peace of mind, and let the people know. It creates much ease for those executors that are handling our estate after our death. Why don't we take one more question, shall we? A question is that if the children all got shares in the house and later on when the father passes away, that there is a conflict. I'm assuming the conflict is arising because somebody wants to occupy the house and the others are not occupying. That's normally what happens. Ji. 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 So, someone occupation, someone to sell the share. Sell the share means want to sell the house. Others don't want to sell. So, for whatever reason, someone to keep, someone to. So, what happens in a situation like that is there needs to be some type of compromise. I was speaking about compromise when we started. Compromise comes in these matters. Normally, unfortunately, in this time and age, there's a lot of compromise as far as deen is concerned. We don't compromise our deen, but these matters we compromise. There has to be some understanding. So, that person that wants to sell the share, that one daughter, for example, wants to sell her share in the house, and maybe the brother or the other sister wants to keep the share. So what must happen is these existing shareholders must buy her share off. We want to keep it, but what we'll do is we'll buy your share off, or we'll give you some other asset that we were entitled to as compensation for the share that we're taking. So we'll take a bigger share in the house because we want to keep the house, but we'll compensate you by giving some other asset. Now this must be done in an understanding format, in a way that everyone agrees upon. So they become the owners of it. And now in lieu of the share that they're taking in the house, they're selling some other asset to that party that wants, so to speak, to get out, wants to sell their share. It has to be done by compromise. There's no hard and fast rule when it comes to siblings and when it comes to dissolving of assets or liquidating of assets that are there, selling off of assets that are there in the estate. Good question is coming from Haji Sahib. Haji Sahib himself is an expert. So he says that 1/8 generally is given to the wife. So let's assume it's a house. So she'll get 1/8, 12.5% of the house belongs to the wife. The balance will go now to the children. We explained 2:1, males, females. Just a general example we're using. So how do we protect the wife? So a very common thing that is done is in a person's lifetime, what he does is he knows that there's a risk that this wife of mine's may be left without a house. So what he does is he sells, listen to the words I'm using, he sells 50% of the house to the wife. He sells. So now she's no longer only 12.5% owner. She is 50% plus whatever share she gets, that 1/8 of the balance of that 50% that is left, she'll end up as a majority shareholder of that house. So therefore now she's being secured in an even greater manner. Now the reason why I use the word sell and not donate is because when donations are explained to you, it must be given free of any type of restrictions. Any type. But when you sell, you can sell at a nominal value. So example, a person is selling 50% of the house to the wife. I'm giving an example for 2,000 rand. Shariat allows you to do that. You sold 50% of the house for 2,000. You didn't have any restrictions of vacating that house, of emptying that house. You have no other restrictions. She had become the owner, and now she, She owns that house and she's allowing you to stay there. So it's a much easier way of doing it than donating. Donating, you have to give it free of any type of restrictions, which become very hard for a person that is donating. So therefore, the easier thing to do is to sell it. So that makes it much easier. Good question. Many people worry about this. They say, I gave 50% of my house to the wife. Now, what happens if she passes away? That's your question, right? What happens if she passes away? If she passes away, Nurun ala Nur, you'll get one portion of it, of her share, and the children also will get one portion. So there's no harm. So if she is given, sometimes the question, like what you're asking, is what if the husband passes away? He is worried. Here, your question is, wife passes away. There's no harm. I mean, if she passes away, you'll get a portion of it. The children will get a portion of it. So there's no harm if you transfer it to her name and she gets it. There's no loss to anybody. And we must be happy to do it. But a more common question than what Haji Saab asked is, a person says that, you know what, I'm giving 50% of the house to my wife. What if tomorrow there's a divorce and she gets married to someone else? Alhamdulillah, let that someone else benefit. She got married to someone else. That shouldn't be our worry. We gone in the cupboard. What we worried about, who she's going to marry and what's going to happen to the house and all that. Allah has given us a much bigger house, a palace in Jannah. We won't be worried about this house in this dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. There's one more question coming, inshallah, after this we dua. So it was verbally said. Yeah. Ji. So what happens is, a person says that there's a will that is written, Islamic will. But separately, a person told, yeah, the person we say is a testator, that's the right word, that he tells other people around him that, you know what, this asset needs to go to this person or that asset. So there's some other adjustments. So what takes precedence? Firstly, Shariat will take precedence. Always remember that Shariat will take precedence. And the right thing to be done is that Islamic will be honored. And that now, that other things that were spoken about, that's un-Islamic. It wasn't given in his lifetime, so those people that are now claiming it, they have never received it. They're only entitled to receive what Shariat gives them at the time of death. So even though they are making claims to it, and they're saying that this is what the testator said, this is what our father said, this holds no value, holds no water. That will take preference over all other verbal statements and verbal utterances made and claims made that now go contrary to Shariat. What we will do is we'll go by the will, and we'll also encourage these people that for your sake and the interest of the akhirat of your father and our akhirat, let us do things in the correct way. So we will give preference, and this will take precedent over everything else, this Islamic world that has been prepared. That's why I'm saying this is a very important document to have. It avoids unnecessary conflict later on. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Anybody else got a question, inshallah? I'll take it, but after the program, so we don't delay those that want to have a rest. As we know, tonight is also 27th night, so we should mentally prepare also, and we should try and have a rest, and try and get the maximum. That attitude that we should have in the month of Ramadan is, I don't know whether I'll see another month of Ramadan. I don't know whether I'll get another 27 night. Let this 27 night be the best 27 night in my life. And like that, the 29 night also. And like that, towards the end of Ramadan, we don't know whether we'll get another chance. Let this be our attitude, and you'll see how the Ramadan also will come out differently. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh ala niyatuhu wa sirruh. Lakal hamdu ala ni'matil iman wa lakal hamdu ala ni'matil islam wa lakal hamdu ala ni'matil quran. Lakal hamdu ala ni'matil zawjat wa lakal hamdu ala ni'matil awlad. Lakal hamdu ala ni'matil kathirah wa ala'ikal jasimah. لك الحمد على أن جعلتنا من خير أمة أخرجت للناس ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل فصلي وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهل فافعل بنا كما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله